Channel 9 at TechEd Barcelona. And we're continuing our investigation of innovation on our platform that happens outside the mothership. And today we're with Gabriel Turok from Preemptive. Mm-hmm. And how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying the show. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of great contacts, a lot of good people stopping by our booth. It's mm-hmm. been a lot of fun.
So what do you guys do?
So most of you out there probably know Preemptive Solutions for our Dopfuscator product, and that is a light version of which
Absolutely.
Ships inside Visual Studio, so it's right off the tools menu. So that's sort of the first part of what we do. We have a protection solution that makes it materially more difficult to reverse engineer .NET applications for people who want to look for security holes or tamper with it or bypass license checks. That's the first piece. The other thing, we really view ourselves as a post-compilation instrumentation platform where we add value to people's applications, but after they've done all their coding. So, for example, that could be the protection, the obfuscation protection mm-hmm. piece. It could be notifying people that their application's been tampered with mm-hmm. and allowing them to react to tampering. It could be adding watermarking to their application. It could be giving people application analytics without them writing any code. And the beautiful thing about that is an integration with Microsoft CRM, so you can actually see how people are using your code in what scenario and improve the sales process based on it. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, Microsoft at this show actually announced the software licensing and protection services, and we instrument that in your application as well. So as opposed to you writing APIs and figuring out all this work, you literally just have to check off a few boxes inside Dopfuscator, hit build, and we'll take care of the rest.
Excellent. So when you say we take care of the rest, what's actually happening? So your code injections.
Right.
So let's talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about it. So what actually happens is, as many of you know, .NET applications are really compiled down to something called MSIL. Mm-hmm. And MSIL is an intermediate language. It's not native code that the CPU can actually execute, but it's an intermediate state. We can take that intermediate language, pull it all apart, add value to it in lots of different ways, and then put it all back together. Hmm. When we do this, we don't need the source code. You literally could instrument an application where you just have the executable.
Interesting. So were there any challenges initially with working with IL? Or did that make it easy?
That actually made it easier because IL, if you actually get right down to it, IL is pretty straightforward. It's a stacked-based assembly structure that's pretty easy to understand mm-hmm. And pretty easy to pull apart and put back together. So that wasn't super challenging. The tricky thing is whenever you're pulling something apart and putting it back together, you have to take real care that you don't mess things up, if you will, right? So if there's any pointers that need to change, they need to change appropriately and properly.
Sure.
So we do tons and tons of regression testing. And as a matter of fact, because we ship inside Visual Studio, mm-hmm. Microsoft actually does some regression testing on our product as well, just to make sure the quality is super high.
Excellent. So now, because you're happening at the IL level, you're not really concerned with what's going on in the language.
No. And as a matter of fact, it's kind of a funny thing because some of the transforms that we do to make it materially more difficult to reverse engineer mm-hmm. actually do things that are perfectly legal IL, but not necessarily legal source code.
Hmm.
So as a result, when you try to decompile it, it ends up being squirrely or screwy source code that doesn't make any sense and wouldn't work.
Interesting. So I mean, it's interesting to me, so that you have a blob of IL and then you will alter it to make it sort of, you know, I can't take it as a developer and then try to understand it because it won't make any sense when I want to execute it or understand what's happening. My question is, how does that work with the jitter?
Oh.
So how does the jitter know what you're provided it?
That's an excellent question. So what the jitter is it's a process whereby the IL mm-hmm. actually gets optimized before it's executed natively, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the just-in-time compiler. Basically, everything we do, we make sure is 100% legal compatible IL. So the jitter has no problem with anything we give it.
Okay.
And we do extensive testing of that. We support Silverlight, we support the Compact framework. Basically any common language runtime that Microsoft releases before they release it, we already support it. We're very aware that we need to be completely 100% standard and be completely transparent in the sense that we're not doing anything unusual or that doesn't conform to the specs.
So, you know, one of the other things that I'm interested in this series is to learn about why did you choose to innovate on top of the Microsoft stack? And the other question would be, I mean, are you also doing these types of tools for other stacks?
Okay, so that's an excellent question. We actually started off with a protection solution in the Java space.
Okay.
And we still have a solution for the Java space. And we actually started conversations with Microsoft very early on when Visual Studio 2002.NET was just coming out. And I think Microsoft realized that, you know, there are people who are writing .NET applications who don't want them reverse engineered, right? I mean, anybody who's not willing to give away their source code wants some type of protection. And that's when we started the conversation. We'd already been in this space. We had patents. We knew what we were doing. And we ended up rewriting what we did in the Java space with C# for .NET, and then, you know, doing the deal where we have the light version inside Visual Studio. So it was just a natural fit. It really made sense. We love the .NET platform. We think, it's just been great, and we've continued to innovate on it. So we basically said, what is our core competency? Our core competency is instrumentation. So, you know, what other value adds can be done with instrumentation? Well, obviously, the protective part we've done, the detective part where we can detect tampering and report it back to you, the analytics part where we, without you writing any code, you can now see how people are using your applications, if they fail, you know, get information that typically you wouldn't have because the application's running somewhere as a black box. And then integrating it again with the Microsoft stack with Microsoft CRM. And then same thing with licensing.
That's really nice. So you provide a sort of a nice broad spectrum for developers.
Yes.
That's good. So now what about, you know, you can use Visual Studio and manage code pretty much with unmanaged code in the same file, right? So you think of managed C++.
That's right.
How does your product work in a situation where I have unmanaged classes and managed code in the same file?
Okay, it works fine. I mean, basically we protect and obfuscate
the managed code, only
the managed code. We add value to that part, and then we basically leave the unmanaged code alone.
Which is, of course, always harder to reverse engineer.
Yeah, now
it's possible.
It is absolutely possible. And the trick is a lot of people don't really think about that, but in reality, anything can be reverse engineered. And really all we're trying to do is raise the bar. You know, if we can make reverse engineering managed code as difficult or more difficult than unmanaged code, then we believe we're successful. Because, you know, when it comes right down to it, and somebody really wants something, and they want to put a lot of time and energy and effort into it, you know, they'll get it. But what you really want to avoid is a college kid in 3 seconds pressing a button and having your source code, and then taking that and running it through a source code scanner to look for security vulnerabilities, for example.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully they won't find any buffer overruns in C#.
They should.
But they can find, you know, plenty of bad code.
Right.
Depending on how the developer, you know, writes code.
Sure.
That's interesting. So let's talk about the customer a little bit. So what kind of feedback are you getting? Are people actually using .Obfuscator?
Oh, lots of people use .Obfuscator.
They are.
Well, first of all, there's the version in Visual Studio that's on 6 million desktops.
Absolutely.
We know there's a lot of people using that, and that's great. We also have people that, you know, have the professional product that gives you a whole lot more features. And, you know, we've got well over 3,000 customers worldwide.
Excellent.
Europe is over a third of our business, so we have a lot of customers in Europe. And then we've got a lot in Asia and other parts of the world as well. So, yeah, it's a lot of people are using it. I mean, basically anybody that's creating a .NET application where they don't want to distribute the source code alongside the application would want to use a tool like ours to make that source code materially difficult to obtain.
Outstanding, which is very important. Well, hey, it's been great to talk to you.
Well, thank you very much.
You clearly are innovating on the platform, and developers should start using Vospiscator, if they're not already.
And if you haven't, check it out. There's free evaluation versions. Mm-hmm. We're very excited about the analytics piece. We're very excited about our integration with Microsoft's new licensing platform. If you have a need for licensing, I would strongly encourage that you check that out. It's really very slick technology.
Very cool. All right. Well, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you.